Hey girl, welcome to Christian Girls Pop. My name is Stephanie Bright and I'm the founder of this girls group as well as your host for the podcast. Around here, we are all about purpose, obedience, and prayer. That's what makes us pop. You're guaranteed to laugh, cry, learn, grow, and most importantly, become more like Jesus. We're going to rock this thing out and we're going to have fun doing it. You ready? Let's go. Hey girl, and welcome back to another episode of Christian Girls Pop. We are continuing on with our college knowledge series, and this week it's kind of a deep one, y'all. We're talking about mental health. Like, we have to talk about this specifically from the standpoint of a believer, what that looks like. And like, it's so necessary, and I feel like more people are beginning to talk about it more, but there are still people struggling every single day. And so we have to keep talking about it until, you know, like, we're walking in freedom and we're walking in peace and joy and not bound by, you know, depression and anxiety and all the other things. So that's what we're talking about this week. Mental health. Super important. And first, I just kind of want to ask, like, how's everybody doing? Like, how are you doing? Like, genuinely take time to answer this question before you even move on in the podcast. Like, I want you to be honest with yourself and just really ask yourself, like, how am I doing? How is my mental health? Do I feel like I am in control, or is it controlling me? Do I feel like I am taking my thoughts captive, or my thoughts are just running rampant? Do I feel like I'm depressed? Do I feel like I have anxiety? Really just be honest with yourself. And I think sometimes the reason I'm telling you to be honest with yourself is because a lot of times we're not. I know, at least for me, maybe it's just me, but I feel like it's probably not. I will tell myself and others that I'm okay, even if I'm not, either because I don't want to deal with it, because I don't want people to know that I'm not okay, because I don't want to admit to myself that I'm not okay, because that means like I'm gonna have to do something about it. or I'm in denial and I want to say that everything is fine. And then I look up and then I realize, man, it hasn't been fine for a while. So I know for me, I can easily lie to myself and just smooth things over and just act like everything's okay. And just kind of just like keep stuffing everything down. I give the example, I actually gave this example yesterday. I was talking to somebody and I was telling her that sometimes, like, with our mental health, it can kind of be like when you push trash down in a trash can to try to make more room. You know, you just kind of shove everything down and then more stuff just gets piled on. And in your head, because you're stuffing stuff down, it's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I'm okay. Like, I got it. You know, it's like your mind is like this trash can. It's like, oh, there's still space. Like, I can take on more stuff. Like, I'm fine. Everything's fine. And then one day, like, the trash can will literally be at full capacity. And if you try to keep stuffing everything down, it actually will just overflow and begin to spill out of the trash can. And that's what it looks like on the days when we finally just have a breakdown, a panic attack, or, you know, like, we just kind of like lose our minds for a little bit. And that's what it's from. It's from your brain, like, being at full capacity, like, hey, I cannot handle a single thing like else, like, please do not put anything else, you know, for me to bear. And when we try to anyway, that's what results in, you know, breakdowns and stuff. And so that's why it's just important for us to first and foremost just really be honest with ourselves about how we're doing. I'm not asking you to share it with anyone. I'm not asking you to, you know, go get counseling tomorrow. I'm not asking you to go, you know, tell your pastor or your leader at church. I'm asking you to just be honest with yourself. And if you can be honest with yourself, maybe then you can begin to be honest with others about how you're feeling as well. But if you're lying to yourself, you're going to lie to others. Like, bottom line, if you won't even admit to yourself that you're not okay, you're definitely not going to tell random people that you're not okay. So take time to ask yourself, how am I doing? So this week, like I said, we're talking about mental health. And honestly, I looked up some of the statistics regarding mental health, and it really was heartbreaking to read. And I mean, it was research done within literally 5 seconds. And I saw so much of just like, man, mental health really affects college students. One of the saddest statistics that I saw was that suicide is the number two leading cause of death in college students. So sad. Anytime I hear of someone taking their own life, it literally breaks my heart to pieces. If you've heard some of my testimony in the past, you know that when I was younger, I actually was very, very close to attempting myself. And so I just hate to see people think that there is no other choice than to end their own life, because I'm seeing it through the lens that Christ is seeing it, that He has so much better for them and He has so many great plans for their life. But then I can also just see how the enemy gets in their head. And, you can really get to a point where you really think that there is nothing better than leaving this earth. And so, if that is you, before I even go on, I want to personally tell you that God does have such a beautiful plan and purpose for your life, and I really want you to begin to believe that. You may have heard people say it, you may have heard people, talk about it or post about it on social media, and maybe you think that it applies to other people but not you. You think that other people have a purpose and other people have a plan for their life, but not you. God could not possibly have anything to do with you, right? That's at least what you think. But I want you to know that that is an absolute lie, that God has so much planned for your life. And if you allow Him to, He will absolutely show you all the beautiful things that He has in store for you. I want you to know that it is absolutely worth it for you to stay here, that if you were looking for a sign, any last minute ditch effort to see if there's a reason why you should stay, this is your sign. This is your reason, because God has such a purpose for your life, that He is not done with you, that your story does not end here. No matter how bad it is right now, no matter how confusing, no matter how frustrating, no matter how sad your situation is right now, I want you to know that there is a purpose for your life. That you are not just here by accident, you are not here by coincidence, and you are not here just to be gone in your own terms. God has such a beautiful plan for your life. Even if you haven't understood how everything went, even if you haven't always been able to find the reason of why things happened the way they did, God has a plan for your life. So I need you to trust Him, and I need you to even just trust me. While you're listening to this now, trust me as I lead you to the one that you can ultimately trust. So, like I said, unfortunately, suicide is the number two leading cause of death in college students. It really does break my heart, and it just shows me that so many are suffering. They're suffering from depression, anxiety, and just all the stress that can come from college. It's a beautiful time in your life. There's a lot of great things happening, but you're also making a lot of hard choices. You're also maybe stressed out with school. And I know a lot of people had midterms recently, and that can be pretty stressful. I definitely remember those days. Maybe you're just homesick. Maybe you moved across the country, or maybe you just moved down the street, but it's just still not the same because you're not at home like you've used to been. And this is your first time at the house, and there's just a lot going on. Or maybe it's your third year at the house, and you still missing home. All of those are valid. Maybe it's just the environment that you're in at college, and maybe the friends and the choices that have it are already been made, and it has kind of just brought you down into the sinking hole. All of those things, the enemy sees that, and he pounces on that and uses it for his own wicked schemes. He wants to use anything he can to take out God's children. He wants to end your life before you can ever figure out why you had life to begin with. I'll say that again. The enemy wants to end your life before you can ever figure out why you had life to begin with. He wants to do anything he can to keep you bound, to keep you from walking in your purpose, to keep you from having joy and peace. He wants you to think that this is all that there is to life, and that it just sucks, and that there'll never be a better time in your life. And so you might as well just end your life. Maybe he has literally told you those lies. Maybe you literally hear voices telling you that this is all there is and that it will never get better. Once again, I come to you today to let you know that that is absolutely a lie from the enemy. Absolutely. And I am a living witness that there is joy to be found in Christ, that there is peace to be found in Him, and that if you can get past the worst parts of your life, that you will see the best parts that are still yet to come. And you can also see how God will use everything for His glory and for your good. So today I want to talk about some practical and spiritual tips, techniques, and different components of mental health. And y'all have been hearing how I've been doing that every single week, not just making it all spiritual, but also not making it all practical. Both can coexist and exist, right? The Bible says faith without works is dead. So that means that you can have faith, but there is also works that can be involved to bring something to pass. And so that's kind of like the basis of how I'm going about this. And so I want you to let you know that it's not just all about therapy. There is a spiritual component to mental health, but it is also not just all about the spiritual side. There's also practical things that we can do as well. Both can coexist. Both can happen. Both can sit in the same room. Jesus and a therapist, right? Like both of them can sit in the room. Jesus always will have the ultimate power. He's always the ultimate answer, but he has also put things in place for us and people in our lives and different organizations and things to help us as well. So think about it like this. The mind is part of the body too, right? Like you would agree, the mind is part of the body just like everything else. So if you have a wound on your leg, if your leg is broken, no one condemns you for going to the doctor to get your leg fixed. No one bashes you. No one says you should have just prayed about it. Why didn't you just pray for your leg to get fixed? Granted, yes, you could have, absolutely. But there's also nothing wrong with going to the doctor when your leg is broken to get a cast, right? And to get it fixed, get a splint, get a, you know, whatever you got to get for whatever's broken. If you need medicine, you know, if you have an infection, you get antibiotics. But somehow, especially in overall just the Christian world, there's this idea that there's something wrong with going to the doctor for your mind. Now, all of a sudden, everyone, like I said, granted, people are starting to, you know, talk about how, you know, going to therapy is a good thing and stuff like that. But there's still a lot of people, especially in the older generations of Christianity, that will tell you that all you need to do is just pray about it. And if you don't even know how to pray, if you don't even know what to pray for, if you're too depressed to pray, now you feel like you don't have any options left. And now you feel like somebody has just written you off and it's supposed to be fixed with one prayer. And now you're still depressed and now you don't know what to do. And then we just, you know, we just spiral down even more from that. The thing is, like, we need help in our minds too. We can't always see depression or mental health issues. Like, we can see a tumor or a cut, but that does not mean that it's not there. The mind is a part of the body like everything else. And there are ways that we can help our minds from a practical and a spiritual component. Before I get to those practical and spiritual components, though, I do want to go to scripture, and I want to give you three promises that you can cling to. Three promises that you can cling to. I want you to write these down. I want you to put them in the notes in your phone. I want you to post them somewhere where you will see them every day. Three promises, and it's based off of three different verses of scripture. And I want to encourage you to begin to really just, as the word says, to hide these words in your heart. That means that you're remembering them. You're not just reading them once and just keeping them to yourself, but you're remembering these things. For me, when I was even coming up with these promises, they were able to come to the forefront of my mind very quickly because I've studied these verses, because I've lived them out for myself, because I have held on to these verses for so long, for so many years. So the first promise, number one, God sees you. That is a promise that you are seen by God. I want you to read Genesis chapter 16, verse 13. This verse, I love going to this verse. I love telling people about this verse. I actually had a really cool moment last week where I was able to just see this verse lived out in my own life, where I really felt like God saw me. And it just reminded me of the God that we serve. It's Genesis chapter 16, verse 13. This is from the she in this verse is referring to Hagar, and I'll explain that in a second. It says, then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees. For she said, have I also here seen him who sees me? Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And this is where we get one of the names for God as El Roy. He is the God who sees. And so this was from Hagar's perspective. She, long story short, she had been kicked out after getting pregnant with Abraham, even though Sarah told her that she could. But then once she got pregnant, you know, Sarah couldn't have kids. So she said, Abraham, go sleep with the mistress. So she did. And then Hagar got pregnant, and then Sarah got mad and kicked her out. And Hagar was like, what's going on? So she felt kind of just like forsaken or forgotten. And this was a reminder that God, because God met her there. She was out. she was fleeing, you know, she was running away from everything. She was out by a spring of water, and that's when an angel of the Lord met her. So God sent an angel on her behalf to make sure that she was seen, that she felt noticed in that moment. And that's why she says, "Have I met the one, the God who sees?" So I want you to be reminded that that same God who came and met Hagar will come and meet you in your mess, in your situations, whatever you have going on, and he sees you. Number two, God is with you. God is with you. And the verse that I want you to look at is Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." This is a reminder. This was for the Israelites, but this was also for us too. They were up against, you know, enemies. They were up against big, major decisions. But this also applies to us too. We have things that going on in our lives, and we need to be reminded that no matter what we see, that God will never leave us or forsake us. And number three, the third promise, God will heal you. God will heal you. And that verse is Psalm chapter 34, verse 18. Psalm chapter 34, verse 18. "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken." That's actually Psalm chapter 34, verse 18 through 20. I went ahead and read a little bit more. But this is a reminder that he is with you. He will heal you. He is near to the brokenhearted. So once again, the first promise is that God sees you. And I want you to study Genesis chapter 16, verse 13. Number two, God is with you. I want you to study Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. And number three, God will heal you. For that one, I want you to study Psalm chapter 34, verse 18. God sees you, he is with you, and he will heal you. Okay, so now for some practical things regarding mental health, and then we'll do some spiritual components as well. But for some practical methods, if you're struggling with your mental health, number one, get outside. Literally, scientifically, we need to be outside. You know, we need the sun. We can't just be in our room all the time. Get outside. Sometimes just taking a walk, you know, feeling the fresh air against your skin, maybe, you know, walking by a peaceful place in nature. Get outside. That is one way to improve your mental health. Number two, get involved on campus. Get involved on campus. Obviously, with the right organizations, you need to have discernment, but getting involved, it helps you to build your social life. You get to make friends. You won't just feel like you're just going through the motions, and you know, you won't feel isolated. So make sure you get involved on campus. Number three, choose your friends wisely. This is a big one. These are the friends that are either going to speak life into you or speak death. So choose your friends wisely. Who are you hanging around? What are they doing? Where are they leading you to? Where are they wanting you to be, to go, and what are they wanting you to do? These are all things that you have to assess, because your friends, a circle of friends, they determine a lot more than we think, than we realize. There is a famous quote that says, "Show me five of your friends and I'll show you who you are." So you have to ask yourself, who are my friends? Who am I because of these friends? So choose your friends wisely. I know it's you want to have friends, and I want you to have friends while you're in college, but I want you to have good friends, people that will be, you know, with good intentions, that will speak life over you and challenge you in the best way and sharpen you and make you better and not worse. Number four, do not isolate yourself. It can be easy, like I said, to just be in the room the whole time and just never go outside. And I kind of did that my freshman year, not because I was depressed, but I was just more like introverted and I just didn't get involved. And so because of that, I like just stayed in my room. I had like two friends and I watched a bunch of Netflix and and did my homework. And it was okay, but I just saw how much better my life was in college once I decided to get involved with more activities. So make sure you're not isolating yourself. I know it can be hard, especially if you've already been isolating yourself, but I challenge you to get outside, to go and maybe just sit outside. You don't even have to talk to anybody, but just go sit somewhere else than just being in your room in this little cave, because that's exactly what your room can become. Just this little, your one little safe space, and then, or maybe it's not even a safe space, but that's the only space that you know. And you just keep going there and it just gets worse and worse. I challenge you to get out. And number five, this is the biggest one of all, get counseling, get some therapy. I know that, like I said, I already talked about the stigma and all of that behind there. Y'all, a lot of times, first of all, it's free on your college campus. I mean, it's free, but it's like including your tuition, but whatever. It feels free in the moment, okay? But a lot of times, it really is. It's free because a lot of colleges understand the rates of suicide and such, and they're wanting to, you know, be a part of the initiative to prevent that. And so you really, all you have to do is just go seek out the services and you can find something for you. But mental health is so important. So important. And counseling for me, absolutely 100% changed the game for me. 100%. So for me, I'll tell you a little bit of my personal story with counseling. So I did counseling beginning my sophomore year of college. I think I did it for like a year and a half. And I went initially because my mentor, who's now my best friend, she was discipling me and stuff. And she was like, hey, like, you know, I go to counseling every week. I highly recommend it for you. I know, you know, that I think it would just be beneficial. For me, I didn't think anything was wrong with me. Like, I literally was like, me? I'm fine. I'm so fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with me. Why am I going to go to counseling? And, you know, it's a whole stigma. And for me, especially because in the Black community, I feel like the stigma regarding mental health is even worse. It's a lot of it's just part of our culture. It's just like, you know, you only go to the counseling if you're crazy, quote unquote crazy. And so it's like, well, I'm not crazy, so I'm not going to counseling. And I just hate that that's a stigma because so many people are suffering from so much because of not wanting to look like, quote unquote, the crazy one in the family or whatever the case is. And so anyways, I hate that that is the stigma, but I'm glad that my mentor, who my best friend, she's Black, and I'm glad that she, you know, she had gone and she was able to set the example for me to go. And so anyways, so I went and it was, you know, it was different for me because I didn't know what to expect. And she told me, she was like, hey, I know that you think, my friend told me like, hey, I know that you think that nothing's wrong, but I think it's good. Everybody should get a dose of counseling at some point in their life. It really will help you to just talk through some issues. Mind you, if I look back at the things that I really was struggling with at the time, I was like, yo, what? Like, I definitely needed counseling. Like, there was so much crazy stuff that happened. So anyways, I went to counseling. I obviously was nervous the first time because I didn't know what to expect. Long story short, it changed the game for me. You know, like the first session I left and I was like, okay, like I think I can do this. By session two, I was like, yo, you get me. Like, you know my whole life. And I was able to just be more open with her. Long story short, it helped me so much with issues with myself, with my parents, with my addiction. And it really just helped me to learn why I think the way I think, what areas needed to change, what I needed to do differently. It helped me to forgive. It helped me to uncover things that had been suppressed. It 100% changed the game for me. Obviously, Jesus is the one who ultimately changed and saved my life, but counseling really was such an instrumental part of helping me to change my life as well. And so I 100% recommend it to everyone. If you're able to do it, if this was like, maybe you were on the fence about it before, I want to encourage you, hey, now's the time, go for it. Really, like, seriously, go for it. Try it out. You may be a little nervous the first time, but that's okay. Go for it anyway. And I really want to challenge you to seek someone out because this is going to be so helpful in your walk with Christ as a whole, as a believer, as a woman. Like, this is going to help you. This is going to help you be the best version of yourself. Okay, so that was some of the practical components of mental health and different things that you can do to improve your mental health. Some of these things you probably have heard before in some degree or to some capacity, whether through magazine, social media, self-help seminar, self-help book. But sometimes we just need that reminder, right? We just need that reminder of what we need to do and do it to help pull us out of that slump. I guess one thing that I didn't necessarily put under practical because it can apply to both practical and spiritual is I want you to tell someone when you're struggling. And I know for me, we just talked about this, right? Like I will lie to myself. I will tell myself that I'm okay if I'm not. That goes back to a lot of other rooted issues of just trying to put on this perfect image, all this other stuff, right? That's a long story. But overall, it can be very hard for me to just be honest with someone and say, hey, I'm not okay. Hey, I need prayer. Hey, can you, you know, help me out. And so I remember one of the first times that I really decided to open up and share about my mental health outside of my counselor. It was a couple years ago. I was just really in a slump and I didn't have motivation to do anything. I wasn't quite like depressed because I've been through actual like full on depression. But I just didn't have the motivation to do anything. I couldn't really pinpoint anything specifically. But I just didn't want to do anything and I had a lot to do. So that made it worse. And so because of that, I just kind of went downhill. My room was a hot mess. Like my life was a hot mess. Like I couldn't get any work done and it was just like getting worse and worse. And so I finally reached out to my family and to my best friends and I let them know like, hey, I'm just really in a funk right now and I really could use some help. And so my mom came over and helped me clean my room and that was so helpful. And my friends, like, I think like took me out to eat or something like that just to kind of get me out of that space. And it was so helpful for me to get out of that slump that I was in. And so I really just highly encourage you to tell someone that you're going through something, because a lot of times people just don't know. And maybe sometimes we get frustrated because we're wanting people to read our minds, or they should know how I feel, or they should know that I'm not okay. Maybe people just don't, like, honestly, they may just be so busy with their own thing that they can't see, you know, what you have going on. And so I just encourage you to, you know, just be honest with people about what you have going on. Okay, so let's go to some of the more spiritual side of things. So number one, pray. Prayer is so important. And honestly, we really just underestimate the power of prayer. I've talked about this before on the podcast, but we just don't do it as often as we should because we don't see the value that it has. We don't see the benefit, or we just don't feel like it, or whatever the case is. But I really encourage you to keep praying. Like, I know the old saints are going to be like, oh, baby, just pray about it. And to a degree, they are right. I wouldn't say that that's all you do. Like, you can go to counseling, you can go to therapy, you can do the other things. But also, don't forget to pray about your situation, because, baby, the blood of Jesus still works, okay? The blood of Jesus will cleanse you, heal you, restore you, redeem you. So don't sleep on that, okay? Don't sleep on it. So make sure you are praying. Number two, go to church. Go to church, find a nearby church to plug into, because you'll find community, you'll be restored, your soul will be fed on a constant basis. And also, it really will help you on the days when you're just not feeling it. Like, I love the fact that my church has a schedule and a routine, and I know that Wednesdays and Sundays I'm going to be at church, like, regardless of how I'm feeling, because half the time when I go, I don't feel like going. I've had a long day, maybe just, you know, the day just got the best of me. But when I get to church, I always leave so much better. I'm around God's people, I'm around like-minded believers, I'm hearing a word, I'm forcing myself to worship even though I don't want to, and I leave completely different. And I, you know, sometimes I leave and I'm like, what was I even mad about? Like, why was I even, you know? And so, like, I highly encourage you to make sure that you find a good church, especially if you're on a college campus. There are normally churches nearby that are plugged into the college campuses and they, you know, kind of do advertisement and stuff. So get connected with those churches. If you're kind of leery about it, take a friend or just go for it. Just take a leap of faith and just do it. Just you will be blessed. Going along with finding a church and going to a church, number three is find a Bible study or a Christian organization on your campus. It's really good to have that on a campus. That's something that you can go to during the week, another place to meet friends, meet good Christian friends. And hey, maybe one day, you know, Christian Girls Pop will be the one that you find on your campus. As some of y'all have heard from the ministry shift announcement, that is the ultimate goal, is to get Christian Girls Pop on all college campuses nationwide and eventually globally. So hey, you never know. Maybe number three will be answered when we pull up on your campus. But hey, don't wait on me. Go find a Bible study now. Go find an organization now that you can be a part of. And it's really helpful because a lot of times the Christians that are on campus, I know that you feel like, man, it's hard to find other Christians on campus. Like, I feel like I'm outnumbered. I feel like I'm the outcast. Where do you find Christian friends? And my answer is always, go where the Christians are. Like, you're not going to find Christians where the Christians don't be at, you know? Go where the Christians are. So if there's a Bible study, that's where you're going to find the Christians. If there is a, you know, like a girls Jesus talk at a coffee shop or something, that's where you're going to find the Christian friends. It doesn't mean that you're going to be besties with everybody there, but you will be able to meet like-minded believers. So highly encourage you to find a Bible study or a Christian organization or event on campus. A lot of the times when I met people, it was just at random stuff like that, and we stayed connected, or we realized we had so much more in common than we thought. Like, I'm telling y'all, like really good friends I met from just showing up to random events in college. So highly encourage you to do that. And number four, this one is huge, baby. Rebuke the enemy. Like, I feel like no one talks about the fact that we have authority as believers. Like, yes, we can do therapy and we can do counseling, but like I just said, the blood of Jesus still works. It still has power, and you can proclaim that and declare that and plead the blood of Jesus over your life. You can straight up resist and rebuke the enemy and his wicked schemes and his tactics and his little evil spirits, all that. You can rebuke the enemy. You have power through Christ. Don't be out here trying to do it on your own, because that's not going to help at all. You have no power in your own strength, but through Christ, Philippians 4:13 says you can do all things through him. And we see time and time again the power that the blood of Jesus has over the enemy. You can rebuke the enemy. You can rebuke the spirit of depression. You can rebuke the spirit of anxiety. You can rebuke the spirit of dissociation. You can rebuke mental illness. You can rebuke those things through the name of Jesus. There is still power in the blood. Will you have to do some work on the back end? If you've gone through trauma and now your response is some form of mental illness, are you going to have to heal from your trauma? Yes. But can you also pray and plead the blood of Jesus over your life, over your mind, and plead a hedge of protection around your mind and your house and your family? Absolutely. Both can coexist. Both can sit in the same room. Jesus and your therapist can coexist. You can find the freedom, the mental health, all the things that you've been so desperately looking for and seeking for. You can find that in Christ. So that's practical and spiritual ways to improve your mental health, to find to be in a better headspace, to have a better mindset day by day. And I want to encourage you to begin to do those things. Don't just listen to this, log off, and like stay depressed and stay anxious and stay in a bad place mentally. I do not want to see you just live this subpar, mediocre life when God has so much more in store for you. So last but not least, our last component of the podcast for college knowledge is how to make it pop. How do we apply all of this to purpose, obedience, and prayer, which are the three foundational principles of Christian Girls Pop? First and foremost, for your purpose, I want to remind you, and I hope that this podcast reminded you, that you have purpose. You are not a mistake or an accident, and it is not better for you to end your life, no matter what the lies of the enemy have been spoken over you and what he has wanted you to believe. That is not the better option. You have purpose. You are not a mistake. You are not an accident, and God will begin, if he has not already, to reveal your purpose to you. For obedience. The enemy does not want you to walk in obedience. He wants to keep you so bound that you don't live the life that he has called you to. But I want to encourage you to seek the Lord, seek wise counsel, seek counseling, seek therapy, seek help so that you can be in a better place mentally, because then you can do and go and do what God has called you to do. Then you can live out your purpose. If I'm not at my best, I can't lead Christian Girls Pop well. If I'm not in a good place mentally, I can't help other people. So first help yourself and then begin to walk in your purpose. Don't try to just keep walking in your purpose knowing that your mental health is just failing. Like, take care of you. Focus on getting yourself in a good place and do it with the Lord and allow him to help you and grow you and mature you and all those things so that you can be who God has called you to be. And last but not least, prayer. There is power in prayer. Pray for your mental health and also for the mental health of others too. We already talked about just the power of prayer that there is. And so with that, I want to end this podcast in prayer for you. God, I thank you so much for every single person that is listening to this, every person under the sound of my voice. I thank you that you are with them, that you will heal them, and that you see them, that you have never forsaken them or forgotten them, and that we are in the palm of your hand. You keep us, Lord. So I pray that you continue to keep us physically and mentally. I pray that as we seek you, that we would find you. As we seek the peace, the joy, everything that is to be found in you, that we would find it, that we would encounter it, and it would absolutely satisfy us and change our life. That we would not have to look to the end of a bottle or to a man or to a drug or to a group of friends, that we wouldn't have to find it in a bedroom somewhere, but that we would find it on our knees in prayer, and that you would absolutely change our life. So I thank you, God, for that. I thank you that you are restoring mental health to those who don't have it. You're restoring sanity. You're restoring joy. You're restoring peace right now in the name of Jesus. And as those that seek you, that they would find you. Those that are praying for joy, that you would give it to them. Those that are praying for peace, that you would give it to them. Give it to them. That if they're praying for healing, that you would give it to them. Lord, I come against any attacks of the enemy that have been plaguing the minds of those that are listening right now, those that the enemy has tried to keep bound. He's tried to keep us in a negative mind state, keep us bound in depression, keep us bound in anxiety, keep us bound in fear. I rebuke those things in the name of Jesus. I speak life over them right now in the name of Jesus. I speak life and not death. They will live and not die and proclaim the works of the Lord. They will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. They will see those things now. I thank you, God, that you are bringing them into new spaces, into new territories. You're taking them out of those chains. You're taking them out of that bondage. You're taking them out of those mindsets, and you are bringing them into new, beautiful things that you have for them. Your word says that you are doing a new thing. Do we not perceive it? Lord, help us to perceive it. Help us to see the ways that you're making. Help us to see the new thing that you are springing forth in our lives. And I thank you, God, that we will walk in freedom, that we will not be bound, that we will get the healing that we need. I thank you that you are strategizing and you are ordaining people. You're putting people in place in our life that will be able to help us, that will be able to bring us into your feet, that will help us to find healing, that will help us to process and to be in a better place mentally. I thank you, God, for all that you're doing. I thank you, God, that you are doing a new thing. So I pray all these things in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. And we love you so much, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to another College Knowledge episode. If you have not already, make sure you follow Christian Girls Pop on Facebook and Instagram at Christian Girls Pop. You can find us on YouTube at Christian Girls Pop. And don't forget to check out our website, ChristianGirlsPop.com. If you have not bought your tickets for Say La Retreat, make sure you get your spot reserved. It is December 8th through the 10th. You do not want to miss this. This is going to be an amazing time of prayer. It's all about prayer, Selah in prayer. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to watch movies. We're going to have sermons. We're going to have Bible studies. We're going to have girl talk. We're going to have hot chocolate bars and so much more. We're also going to make sure to rest, because that's part of the retreat, is to rest. So we'll get all of that involved. But thank you so much for checking us out. Thank you for listening to another episode. Share this with a friend. If you know someone that their mental health is ailing, that they're in a bad place mentally, share it with them. Tell them, hey, you don't know this girl. I've been listening, or this podcast just really helped me out and I wanted to share it with you. Or, hey, girl, you were on my mind. You popped up when I was listening to this. Wanted to just share this with you and encourage you. Whatever it takes, send it to a friend, a sister, a cousin, an aunt, whoever. Whoever needs it in this time. It's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay not okay. Get some help that is needed so that you can be the best version of yourself. So thank you all for tuning in to another week's episode. And as always, remember, Jesus already loves you so much. Don't you ever forget that.